Yeah.
I don't.
Well, the moment I answer, the moment I answer, just say it's connecting. just check your WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Check your WhatsApp.
I'm sitting in Parliament, so maybe that's the trouble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because also it shows the yellow. You can be cut anytime.
Mm.
In the corner, they should be white for stability. Okay. All right, Joe.
Okay. Fine.
Solomon's.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, sir, we are ready to start.
Oh, okay. Let me then formally, do we have a quorum?
Yes, sir, we have a quorum. Mr. Dalsasif has just joined the platform.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me then follow, formally open the meeting and welcome all honorable members, the staff of the committee, DDG of DTIC and her team, Advocate Ibrahim from the CLSO office, if it's present, the office of the Chief State Law Advisor, and all our guests, good morning, and also like to wish our brothers and sisters a happy Ramadan, and we wish you happiness and prosperity. Thank you so much. If we can then deal with those present, and if there are any apologies.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Audible?
Yes, so much so, yes.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I don't know what's going on with my video. It's switched on, but I don't know if anybody can see me. Okay.
Yeah, we can see you.
Okay. Chair, in attendance today, we have yourself, Honorable Dango, Honorable Moemang, Honorable Mashuri, Honorable Lont, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Brautasek. I believe the other members are still joining us. In terms of staff, we have Co-Committee Secretary, Mr. Nzulu, our Committee Assistant, Mr. Bazir, the NCOP Procedural Officer, Advocate Ali, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, Advocate Ibrahim, the State Law Advisor, Advocate Grootboom, and I'm sure the rest of the colleagues will join shortly as well. We don't have any apologies, Chair.
All right. No, thank you very much. Honorable Omar Khan indicated that she will be starting there's a finance committee meeting, but she will join us as soon as possible.
I forwarded the link to Honorable Lansman, Chairperson, this morning at his request.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We hope that he will join as soon as possible. Let me also thank Honorable Chairperson, Moemang, for holding the ship, steering the ship last Tuesday. Thank you very much. I would also request the committee secretary just to remind me at what stage were we when we concluded last Tuesday, so that we can then go forward.
Recording in progress.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. The report last week, the department was still busy. Advocate Masoja was still busy with the departmental responses. So I think she was on slide 32, if I'm not mistaken. So we just need to give the department an opportunity to conclude the responses, Chair.
All right. DDG Masoja, yesterday through the PLO, we made a request that will give you 1 hour to conclude. We are aware that you requested 10 to 15 minutes more. We will consider that. But what we would like to request that perhaps you don't repeat what the stakeholders said. Maybe just focus more on the department's response, because fortunately, what the stakeholders are saying has been summarized in your metrics document. So it's very clear what is it that they propose. So we are more interested on your response to what they are proposing. Well, our intention then is that after honorable members, after the DDG has concluded with the presentation, we will then again ask Advocate Ibrahim to make final comments. After that, then we go back using the same metrics and deliberating vote clause by clause. If during the process we needed clarities on any of the clauses, that will then take place whenever there's a particular clause that is not clear in terms of what the proposal is saying and also what the responses is saying. So we'll combine all that. If we don't finish, then we'll continue again next week. I know next week we'll also dealing with the negotiating mandates of the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill. So we will continue with that process. So unfortunately, unlike when the last time we dealt with the legislation, it was the Copyright Amendment Bill, as well as the Performance Production Amendment Bill. We had requested from the Chief Whip to be excused not to attend the plenary sessions. But this time around, unfortunately, there are plenary sessions that are finalizing legislations. And this afternoon, we are having the deputy president. We have been informed that it's a three-line whip. Deputy president is responding to questions from the members of the NCOP. So we are unable, therefore, to request to be excused. We tried to request that we have meetings after the plenaries. It happened that it would inconvenience some of the members of the committee. So we decided against that. So we'll be using the Tuesdays until we conclude with the legislation that before the committee. Over to you, DDG, Masos. Am I audible, members?
Yes, Chief.
Oh, okay. there's a silence on the part of the DDG. I don't know if she is on the platform. Is she on the platform?
Yes, she is, and she's also been made...
Dr. Masocha? She's muted. See that she's muted. I don't know if Saroj or Sulu, can you indicate if Dr. Masocha is able to take the platform? Chulu on the platform? Saroj? I don't know what's happening. Saroj? Can you hear us?
Hi, Chi. Saroj has just called me now to say that she got disconnected and she's reconnecting.
Oh, okay. All right, let's just give her a minute to do so.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning.
Apologies. I'm trying to click unmute and this laptop is saying no. So apologies for that. I'm here.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Chair, once again, to my colleagues from the DTIC, to Advocate Fatima Ibrahim, to her colleagues and the colleagues in Parliament, as well as my colleagues as well from the DTI and everyone in the platform in Parliament. Chair, I've noted the request for me to present for an hour. I'm going to try to be faster. And I acknowledge that you've indicated I should just stick to the issues, our responses more than what has been said from the public. So I will then start with the recap from last week. So where I was the previous week was in Section 30A and Section 30B, and I concluded informing the committee about the comments from the public, and there were some responses that I already went through. And maybe before I continue, Professor Michael Katz indicated that he will be joining the meeting from 9:30 this morning, just to acknowledge that. So in terms of our responses, Chair, most of the...
You'll share the hour then.
Yes, yes.
The extra time. So you'll set the hour with 10 minutes that you requested.
Thank you, Chair.
All right.
So, Chair, some of the issues that I was talking to, they were repeated in different sections because of the way that the matrix is categorized. It looks at different stakeholders and what they have said. So in some areas, there are repetitions. So I will not go back to some of the things that have been said, but safe to say that for Section 30A and 30B overall, Chair, we are not recommending any changes to the bill. And reason being that most of the issues were policy clarification, clarifying our policy position, and the importance and rationale behind disclosure requirements for remuneration, and the areas where stakeholders were suggesting that we look at changing definitions. So I say, for example, remuneration policy committee, we took those as terminologies or wording that is commonly used and also applied by other similar measures such as the King Four Codes. So we took it that way for most of those where suggestions were made for definitions. And for comments related to the binding vote, that we should have voluntary approach, we clarified why it's important that the approach be more on the voting be binding, given the disparities in income inequalities in society. And the new suggestions, including the gender pay gap ratio and others, we then said that they require further consultation and further work. So this is just to give an overview on some of the things that were already presented last week. And there were some of the suggestions that talked to the effective date of the implementation of the Act in terms of commencement. And I did indicate also from the consultation with advocates last week that we will look into that, but it won't be done via the regulations as suggested, because we don't have provisions in the bill in Section 30A and 30B on the regulations, but we will then make an effort through the President to look at the implementation dates of different sections, including Section 30A and Section 30B. So this talks to both the implementation, the remuneration report and the remuneration policy. And for the suggestions that talk to the role of the board versus the role of the shareholders in electing the members of the remuneration committee. We just wanted to maybe make a slight correction to just clarify that the Remuneration Committee is not a statutory committee. It is a board committee. It's just that it's being referenced in Section 30A and 30B. It is an important committee where there will be the election of members when they, during the consequences, where they, during the strike to approach after the report is not approved for the second time and the explanation is given and is not approved, then there is that standing down of elections. So this is just to speak to that, because we do have a comment where we make an example of an audit committee about the election of members. But then that one is a statutory committee, given how it's structured in the Act. This one is not a statutory committee, but it is an important board committee that deals with issues of remuneration, just to clarify that too. And overall, most of the issues were highlighted last week. So I'm going to move, Chair, through your permission, to Section 33, and indicating in summary that for Section 30A and 30B, we are not proposing any amendments for the bill. For Section 33, there were not many comments compared to the previous sections, and the first one, it talks to the wording in terms of the clarity of the wording. And this wording that has been highlighted is not even in the bill itself currently. It's just that I think that it was raised to ensure the clarity and ease of reading the provision. So we are saying that for that suggestion, this is not part of the amendment in the bill, and it was not raised as a concern before, and we take it that in general it is clear, because it's about the anniversary of the date of the incorporation of a company, and then the fact that there are documents that must be submitted within a particular period, and the wording there, it was suggested that it be amended just to make sure that it's in line with, it's clearer. And our response is that companies do have dates of incorporation, and the concept of an anniversary of a date is commonly used, which could mean after each year or after the year. So we recommend that for that suggestion that we do not make any change. The second comment was around the PI score in terms of clarity of how the PI score is applied in Section 33. And this comment has been made before in the previous submission process. It was raised in a similar way in terms of what is this, what does the PI score, what does it mean in terms of the companies? And our response for that is that this is a newly proposed section, and it applies to every company and companies that meet the threshold that must include a copy of its latest annual financial statements approved by the board. And then we list those companies, which are the public company, state-owned company, and any other profit or non-profit company whose public interest score exceeds the limits set out in Section 30, subsection 2, or the regulations as contemplated. And the last comment on Section 33, Chair, it talks to the previous version of the bill, so it is not applicable for this process, but we've noted it, and we are clarifying that where there were records that were supposed to be disclosed related to securities and beneficial ownership information that were on Section 33, those were then affected through or changed through the General Laws Amendment Act by National Treasury. So that law took that amendment into consideration. So we removed it from the bill in this current version. So it does not, it's not part of the bill. So following this, then we have Section 38A, Section 40, Clause 10, Section 40. Then, and there's a two of them. There were no comments that were made by the public in those two provisions, in those two clauses too. Then we move to Clause 10, Section 45. And in Section 45, the comments that were made, they are categorized into two. There were stakeholders who were saying that what has been provided for in terms of the protections and the exclusions of the burden for subsidiaries is not sufficient in terms of the financial assistance by the companies is not sufficient. And then they were recommending that there should be consideration for other groups of companies, for any group of companies to also be included, not just subsidiaries, in that exclusion. And another major comment is around the foreign subsidiaries, to say they should also, foreign companies should also be considered. So these are the two major groups of comments that were made in this clause. And our response is that the purpose of Section 45 is to protect minority shareholders in a company. When a company gives financial assistance to its own subsidiary, there is not a conflict involving its minority shareholders. And accordingly, the prohibition in Section 45 against giving financial assistance to a company's own subsidiary is required. And it will be removed, and it will thus ease the ease of doing business. And any other amendment to Section 45 will undermine its very purpose as set out before. So what we are also saying is that the proposal for the other groups of companies, it's a new proposal. And while we understand that it's being raised to bring that ease of doing business, it will have a challenge in terms of the fact that we need to look into it. Because the protection was meant for that particular group of subsidiary companies. So if we bring this in, it will then mean that it requires its own new process in terms of consultation and engagement to understand its implications. So that suggestion in that regard, then it is not supported in this instance. So this amendment, currently as it is in the bill, it removes the burden by taking away the special resolution requirement and making it easier in terms of transacting around this financial the transactions that take place in Section 45. And on the issue of the foreign subsidiaries, on the comment that there is a need to include foreign subsidiaries. Our comment is that this provision does not apply to the foreign subsidiaries, and it is not an omission per se. The reason why they were not considered is because the foreign subsidiaries are governed by the laws of the place in which they are incorporated. So those laws may be very different from the laws in South Africa that regulate the relationship between a company and its subsidiaries. The proposed amendment to Section 45 exempting financial assistance to South African subsidiaries is done in recognition of the South African legal principle that governs the relationship between a holding company and its subsidiary. There is, among other things, an established basis for the criteria that regulate what constitutes control of the subsidiary, the consequences of enjoying control, the relationship between shareholders and creditors in the company as regards foreign subsidiaries. The laws governing their relationships with their holding company may be entirely different, and there may be disqualification of foreign control. There may be difficult relationships and ranking between equity and debt and certain forms of debt. So this is just to give a context in terms of the implications of the of consideration of foreign subsidiaries, given the way that they are structured and implications of other foreign jurisdictions. So on that those comments, or that comment pertaining to the foreign subsidiary, our recommendation is that we retain the bill with the focus that it is looking into for this particular companies without consideration for the foreign subsidiaries. Then we're moving to Clause 11, Section 48. And in this section, we received one comment. It was the this comment is talking about it restates that if a pro rata offer is made pursuant to subsection 8B Roman I, there should be no need to get a shareholders resolution for the directors, since they are participating on a pro rata basis, and that provision should therefore be made for the acquisition of shares from a wholly owned subsidiary. And the proposed, and then they also added that the proposed subsection 8 should not apply if shares are being acquired, but no consideration is made by the company, and in addition, no mandatory offer as contemplated under section 123 is triggered by the acquisition of shares as contemplated. And then they repeat that the recommendation that a new subsection should be added as follows. And they made a wording recommendation about section 114 not applying. So our response for this is that where the acquisition of shares from directors is occurring pursuant to a pro rata offer, the exemption in the proposed amendment will apply. And that where, however, the directors are disposing of shares other than pursuant to a pro rata offer, the exemption proposed will not apply. And it is unnecessary to provide for the acquisition of shares by a company from its wholly owned subsidiaries. And where shares are acquired for no consideration, there is no need to amend section 123. And in such circumstances, the takeover regulation panel will make a determination as to the action required. And with regards to section 114, the recommendation of the department is that section 114 requirements do not apply to the share buybacks in section 48. And this has been clarified as well in the memorandum of objects. So the proposal made about the wholly owned subsidiary is not recommended, and we confirm that this does not apply. These requirements do not apply to the section 114. So section 114 does not apply. This has been taken into, the comment has been taken into consideration. Then moving to clause 12, section 61, there were no submissions made by the public in that section. In section 72, which is clause 13, there were comments that were repeated. I'll try to categorize them so that I can then move to the responses as proposed by Chair. So there were comments that were referring to the guideline or the guidance required in terms of the Social and Ethics Committee report in terms of what does it entail, what applies to it. Most of them were around that, and others were talking about the role of the prescribed officer in the Social and Ethics Committee versus the role of the directors. And in the first comment that is in the screen, the issue was about where does the exemption apply in the application process, clarity about exemption, the exemption that is done by the company tribunal when it comes to companies that seek to be exempted from the requirements of having an established social and ethics committee in terms of clarity. Another comment was around the numbering, in terms of the wording around the numbering, whether it should be addition or insertion, which wording should be, and also the numbering itself. Instead of 10A, 10B, to include, renumber them to 11 and 12 as a comment. There were comments that were repeated where we clarified that for members who are not involved on a day-to-day basis, there was a wording that was technical that was not included in the previous bill, where we had to add not to clarify that some of the members will not be involved in the day-to-day those who are in the SEC are those who are not involved in it. So they're not. So few submissions were talking to that. And it's not just this comment, but a few of them referred to that previous issue. And there were some which talked about the powers of the minister to issue regulations, that he's been given too much powers in terms of regulations. And clarity was sought about the skills and expertise required on the Social and Ethics Committees. Whether we will provide guidance on that in the regulations. So I'll just now talk to the responses overall to the category of issues that were raised by various stakeholders. So in terms of the exemptions from the establishment of the Social Ethics Committee, they are in the Act and has been in practice since 2011. And then we are saying that Section 8A provides for the establishment of the Social and Ethics Committee, and part of the consideration includes the application for exemption from establishing a social ethics committee. There are companies that can be exempted depending on their PI score and other issues, such as if there is a subsidiary of another company which has an SEC and such criteria. And we are saying on the suggestion on the numbering that we argue that these are editorial suggestions and talk to what Minister indicated previously about preferences of drafting language and text. And we don't see it as a challenge because the additions that have been made in 10A and 10B indicates that these are new insertions. So this is more of an editorial than an essential or a core issue that needs to be taken into consideration. And then that other issue about the member who's not involved day-to-day, it has been addressed in the portfolio committee process. And also, in the next comments part, we say that the minister may prescribe regulations to provide guidance on the remuneration report and the minimum skills, qualifications, and experience requirements of social and ethics committee members. And for him to be exercising that power does not render his actions unconstitutional, because the regulations will be necessary or may be necessary to create legal certainty and clarity. And in the bill we say may, meaning he may issue those regulations. So it is part of the bringing certainty and clarity in pursuing legitimate government objectives. And on the prescribed officers, there were proposals to define, one of them to define the prescribed officer. And our response is that the Act does define prescribed officers in Section 1 of the Act, and it and read with Section 66 subsection 10 of the Act. And of course, it does give Minister also powers to add other functions and so on of these prescribed officers. But then throughout the Act, the prescribed officers are read together in provisions with directors, which speaks to their powers and their fiduciary duties and roles in companies. They have overall executive powers in the company, and they can be members of the Social and Ethics Committee if elected as such in the annual general meeting. And the concern about the powers of the minister to issue regulations, I've already spoken to it. It was raised strongly to say that he might be given too much powers to exercise his own discretion, and which may appear to be unconstitutional. So we clarified that one, and we are all on the issue of the powers of the board to appoint the appointment of the Social and Ethics Committee. A comment was made in relation to a company's remuneration committee, in that a company's board is also best placed to select its social and ethics committee members. So the argument here was that the way that the AGM is used to elect these members contradicts how the boards are appointed, board committees are appointed, because boards are the ones that are responsible. That's the comment. And we are saying that there are instances where we recognize that even in section 72, where the board has a role to play when it comes to appointing the social ethics committee members. I think in terms of the private companies, in section 72, subsection 9A, small b, there is that consideration. So that has been taken into consideration. So the next comment is to clarify why we have addressed the Social Ethics Committee the way it has been addressed in the bill, by bringing in shareholders, by bringing in the annual general meetings. And we are clarifying that these reports are very important and they address many issues in the public interest. Shareholders have rights and they play a more active role on these matters. So guidance can be provided on these reports, but there is a role that the way that the bill has been drafted serves a purpose. During the NEDLAC process, one of the challenges that have been raised is about how the Social and Ethics Committees have not worked in general in society. and how they have not been they have not been taken seriously, and they are taken as a tick, as a compliance tick box exercise. So that's why we emphasize them. And in fact, they were even having stronger consequences before this section, but it was then amended just to allow for processes in future and implementation. And in the issue about the members and the, those who are involved day to day, it has been clarified. It's one of those that have been repeated even from the previous process. And then there were some submissions that repeated issues that were removed from the bill. So the issues around the non-compliance and what constitutes a material non-compliance, even the publishing in the Stock Exchange News Service, those have been removed in the current version of the bill. So we did take those into account previously. So those comments have been addressed in the previous process. And so the others talk about the requirements of the report in terms of the guidelines, and then the definition of prescribed officer, and also the role of the prescribed officer that has been clarified in the previous comments that I've made above. And so basically these are the overall comments, substantive ones, for Section 72, Clause 13, and moving on to Clause 14, which is Section 90, then Clause 15, Section 95. There were no comments made in those two clauses. So moving on to Clause 16, Section 118. So in Section 118, there were two category of comments made. One of them was made in the previous process in Parliament, where many stakeholders were of the section. This section talks to the issues around the definition of the takeover regulation panel, the criteria of the companies that will be qualified as a regulated company. And in this section, there is a wording that refers to indirect shareholding. And several stakeholders raised the concern that indirect shareholding needs to be defined in terms of what does it mean, what we mean by indirect shareholding. And another comment was around the transitional period, to say for those transactions that may be incomplete after the Act come into effect, and companies are now categorized differently as newly regulated companies, and then there are these other transactions. What happens to those transactions that are listed in Section 117 of the Companies Act? And we are responding to all of them. And the indirect shareholding was the main comment around Section 118. And in terms of the reference to indirect shareholding, our response is that it is designed to cover not only shares which are directly owned, but those which are, for example, held by a subsidiary or trust of the securities holders. We reiterate that the issue of indirect shareholding is a commonly known text, or it's commonly used in corporate law. Indirect interest, indirect shareholding. So our view is that we hold the view that it should not be defined. We still hold that it should not be predefined. Companies understand what the concept of indirect shareholding entails. And then moving on to the issue of the transitional arrangements of the other transactions, we clarified that for the transitional arrangement, the moment the Act becomes operational, the obligations in Section 118 will also become operational. Is that because we don't provide regulations in this section? In terms of the Prescription Act, we will look into this section. Likewise, with what we said about Section 30A and 30B, to make a request to the President for the implementation date that may be more effective for taking into account the issues that may affect the transactions that may not be completed because of the changes in the legislation. So we have noted this concern, but it's not something that affects the bill in terms of what needs to be amended. So this is just to clarify. So for Section 118, we're not recommending any changes or any anything new for this section. And so most of them were talking about the same, more or less, the same concern and how the department clarified it before. So then one will move to Section 135, Clause 17. So for Clause 17, there were a few comments. The one comment was around the text, the drafting of the text, and then there were clarity sought about the amounts that we refer to in Section 135, do they also include the rent? Because there has been concerns that is rent amounts included in Section 135. And other comments were about the rankings of the landlords, because the concern was that it seems as if in terms of the post-commencement financing of this in this provision, it looks like then the landlords are going to get more preference in terms of the other creditors. So we will be clarifying that. So basically, in this Section 135 provides that any amounts due by a company under business rescue to the landlord in terms of a contract where the landlord has paid to any third party during the business rescue proceedings in respect of the public utility services, company share of rates and taxes, electricity and water, sanitation and sewer charges will be regarded as post-commencement financing with the appropriate ranking of preference arising therefrom. So I will talk through our responses on the different categories of issues that have been raised, but this is what mostly what this section addresses in terms of the amendments in the bill. So the suggestion that we need to change the referencing in 17B, we are around subsection 3. We are of the view that that reference is correct as is, so we don't recommend that it be changed. We noted the proposed suggestion to change it, but we are of the view that as it is drafted, it is correct. And also, in terms of the rent, rent amount is not included to any amounts due to the landlord, because these amounts are related to municipal utilities only. And so in terms of the other concerns about the rankings and the preference to landlords versus other creditors, other financing, other stakeholders who are also critical, we give the policy rationale in terms of why this provision is critical. So our clarity is that Section 135 amendments are meant to make sure that companies under business rescue are not evicted from the premises in which they are renting. The place of premise that the company occupy is of primary importance to the success of the business rescue proceedings. The landlord is not a preferred creditor, but protection is needed that even if the rent due to be received is not unduly preferred, such landlords must be secured in as far as amounts owing to third parties, being the rates and municipal costs, must not be tampered with. The landlord must still be in the position of servicing municipal costs, even though they are not able to receive the rent owing. This is to protect the landlord from the third party property costs while they are able to accommodate the company under business rescue. These are amounts that are being discussed here are those that are related to utilities and they are not exceeding the aggregate for all public utility services, such as they are mainly about these utilities. So the principle is that the aim of this provision is to ensure that business rescue succeeds and that business rescue is not affected by the failure of the company to be able to pay certain rates and taxes, and then they are evicted. This is just to give the opportunity to that process to succeed and to give a chance for even jobs that are in that process to be retained. This is mainly meant to assist the landlords to be sustained during that process, as only as far as rates and utilities are concerned, no other amounts, no rent, and so on. And in terms of the rankings and the preferences of creditors, we are saying that the landlord is not preferred creditor, but protection is needed, that even if the rent due to be received is not unduly preferred, such landlord must be secured in as far as amounts owing to third parties being the rates and amounts they are concerned, and that they should not be tampered with. And then there was a suggestion about the drafting and the, how the ranking should be dealt with. But our response there is that we still hold the policy position above, and that we don't recommend the proposed change that has been recommended around the claims and the ranking and so on. Then we move on to Clause 18, Section 160. So there were a few comments there, and they spoke to where the company fails to change its name within a determined period in terms of the administrative order of the tribunal. The applicant may approach the commission after the expiration of the determined period to substitute the name of the so it's just clarifying what the provision is. And they submit that there's a need to be a reference here to the administrative order contemplated in subsection 5A, which refers to the administrative order that is also contemplated in section 3B, Roman 2 of the Act, directing company to perform certain actions. And they are saying that failure to do so may cause confusion. So this, they wanted clarity around the administrative orders and between the commission as well as the commission and the tribunal. And also the terminology used about the respondent, the words that are used, respondent. So they were suggesting the rewording of this provision. Another comment was around the deletions that alternative dispute resolution be replaced by mediation or conciliation. So it's around the headings that are used in this section. So it's also around drafting and the style of language. So our response is that the department does not recommend any changes. The term respondent is in line with how the tribunal addresses matters. They do, in their orders, you'll find that in some of them you find the word respondent. So it's not a wrong terminology that is being used. And also, the administrative order to dispute a name is issued by the tribunal. The issuing of orders, they are tribunal-related functions. An applicant is the one who approaches the tribunal to dispute a name against the other party who is a respondent. Then a successful order will apply against the respondent who is proved to be illegally using the name. And it's also submitted that the heading of the section to be amended from alternative dispute resolution to mediation and conciliation. The heading is sufficiently broad according to our assessment. Alternative dispute resolution also covers mediation and conciliation. So we are not proposing any changes in that regard. Then moving on to Clause 19, Section 166, no comments were made by the public in terms of this particular section. And then likewise, Clause 20, Section 167, there were no comments made. Then in terms of Section 194, a comment was made about the powers given to the chairperson to appoint the chief operating officer. This comment has been made before, that the chairperson has been given to unfettered discretion and needs guidelines to be provided as to the qualification experience of the appointees. And we are submitting that the chairperson has been granted an unfettered discretion here, and guidelines need to be as to the our view here is that this section has got safeguards, and it has been there are safeguards that includes consultation with the minister and the minister of finance when it comes to certain consideration around the chief operating officer. So there is no need to amend the section, so that there has been consideration on strengthening this provision to ensure that governance measures are put in place in this particular provision. So for moving on to Clause 22, Section 195, the comment there is around the scope of the mandate of the BBBE Commission, in terms of it should be, instead of adding the functions for the Commission to be able to arbitrate, conciliate and adjudicate, they are make that saying that it should be broader than just looking at the should be looking at other matters, not just looking at issues around the BBBE Commission. But this was a policy consideration. The BBBE matters are a special dispensation that will expand its mandate, and that is currently not provided for because the BBBE Commission is established in terms of their act, a specific act of Parliament, and not the Companies Act. So we needed to bring this in a bill, in a legislation, to ensure that certain actions and matters can be then addressed using the Companies Act to address some of the matters that are referred by the BBBE Commission, especially on the functions of the in the Companies Act. The effect of the amendment is to enable the BBBE Commission to refer complaints of companies not following the governance procedures in the Companies Act to the detriment of the BE shareholders. Examples of this may include not keeping proper company records to prevent BBBE shareholders from understanding company affairs, excluding minority BBBE shareholders from company affairs, including from shareholders' decisions, falsifying company records, or diverting economic benefits of a company to the non-BBBE shareholders through contractual or other arrangements. This is just to clarify why the BBBE is not making it a wider application to other matters. So just a clarity of the rationale there. The next clause is clause 23, section 204. And here the comment was that there has been an exclusion of public companies from adherence to the financial reporting standards. So there was a concern there that there has been an exclusion of the public companies are excluded from this provision. And this section addresses certain functions and powers that will be given to the Financial Reporting Standards Council to issue financial reporting pronouncements. So our response is that the Financial Reporting Standards Council functions do not exclude public companies. And Section 204 addresses the functions of the council in issuing international financial reporting standards and adaptation in the local context. So we think that that issue has been addressed. And then the last comment in terms of defining financial reporting pronouncement has been addressed. It has been taken into account in the bill. So Chair, this is the main companies amendment bill and the comments that we received and the issues that were considered by the department. The next pages or slides, they talk to new other proposed amendments in the Act. And in principle, for all of them, this is what we are saying as a department. We are saying that for a number of proposals that have been made during the public submission process that deserve careful thought, and in some cases where the merit of the proposal is clear, an opportunity for other stakeholders and affected parties must be given to make representations. Therefore, it may be worthwhile to consider a further bill that can be considered early in the new administration. The amendments that follow are new. They require a new public participation process and further research. And in some respects, there might be one or two where in future there could be other regulations not in this process that are considered depending on the merits or the depth of the issues. And there were some issues that were made in the public hearings looking at the General Laws Amendment Act, where there was a proposal around Section 56 where it was said that we need to incorporate beneficial think it's beneficial ownership versus beneficial interest. And we think that is an important consideration, but these two concepts are not the same and they cannot necessarily be used interchangeably. So this is a substantive amendment that is being proposed. It's not a matter of just taking one and replacing it with the other. So on that basis, we recommend that these issues be considered, all of them, in the future processes. So then with that, I will then move to the second bill, which is the company second amendment bill. And in the company second amendment bill, we received very few comments. There were general comments that were positive in terms of acknowledging the bill and its importance. But then the ones that I'm going to try to speak to here are the ones that have been, that made some few recommendations. So in terms of the first comment, first submission, there's a disagreement in terms of the changes made in Section 77, Subsection 7. And they are also suggesting that the matter can be dealt with without limiting the general applicability of the Prescription Act. They suggested drafting changes, and they are saying that this will avoid placing the onus on the claimant to bring a court application in circumstances when the Prescription Act provides for an interruption or stay in prescription, and they suggested wording. We are of the view that no amendments are recommended for the provisions in this bill in this regard. We think that as drafted, it suffices and it covers it allows for both the Act and the prescription issues that may come into play during the processes that involve the courts as well. So we think that this issues enough protections and mechanism in dealing with issues that emanated on the claims that may arise in terms of the Zondo recommendation. So we support that the provision as is, as drafted in the processes, be retained. And the second comment is clause 2 in section 162. In this particular, there are certain suggestions in terms of the wording that can be clarified. I think it's around the period that the wording that should be added to say, or the extended period as referred to under section 2, subsection 2A, where we are talking about this in section 162. So the wording proposed that have been made, we've noted it in terms of the time frame, but we are also of the view that the bill as drafted covers the sufficient timelines because of the role of the courts. And there is no need to make an addition around the proposed addition. So we are also recommending here that there should not be further amendments by extending in one of the subclauses there by adding or the extended period as referred to under subsection 2A, because that is we think that is incorporated and that there's that discretion that has also been given to the courts. And there was a proposal that I think this one is a big one because it talks to the policy rationale, that the provision should not be retrospective, that the Section 77 and 162 both should not be retrospective. And we hold the view that retrospective is very important. The Zondo Commission made a recommendation in respect of two specific companies and certain persons connected with those companies that Section 162 of the Companies Act be amended so as to ensure that the application for a declaration of delinquency may be brought even after the 2 years of good cause shown. And in accordance with the Zondo Commission findings, the proposed legislation should be expressed to have the effect of retrospective application subject to a decision of the courts. Thus, the legislation should state that the court on good cause shown may extend the time bar even though the conduct in question was committed during the period before the extension. This gives the courts the discretion to address the matters after the actions in question have taken place to support accountability and in the public interest. So retrospective application is very important for the Second Amendment Bill because the issues of time and when matters occurred should not limit actions that can be taken to correct some of the issues that have occurred that requires accountability in the public interest. Chairperson, that was the last page and the last slide of the presentation. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I don't know if a professor would like to come in at this stage to clarify some issues. DDG, you'll indicate.
Chair, I think we can proceed. We've been talking with Prof, and we will maybe hear from the committee, and then Prof can come in. We'll take it in that session.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Let me invite Advocate Ibrahim.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to yourself and all the members and colleagues on the platform. Chairperson, my responses, I took the committee through the constitutional issues last week, so the committee's just reminded that they need to satisfy themselves, particularly on the issues around the rights to privacy, whether they satisfied that those rights can be limited as per Section 36 of the Constitution. And then, Chairperson, in terms of general drafting issues, you will recall that we had picked up that there was a spelling error that is going to be collected. It does not need to go back to the PC. And that was the word contemplated, which had the M instead of the N. Then also, Chair, there was a numbering issue that we're considering amending. If you look at page 8 on the bill, and that would be the company's amendment bill on line 48, you'll see that there's, it seeks to amend the section there that it's seeking to amend. It added a 10A and a 10B, and it has to do with Section 72 of the Principal Act. And there was a comment from the public that that should perhaps be changed to read subsection 11 and 12. And from a drafting perspective, Chair, that did make sense because section 10 was the last, subsection 10 at least was the last subsection in section 72. So there's no reason why you cannot go then to subsection 11 and 12. So it is a numbering issue, and I have raised it with our bill's office about collecting that before adoption. And then, Chair, there was another comment also by the Western Cape government, and that had to do with changing of the term stipulated to contemplated in keeping with the language used in the Principal Act. I'm of the view, Chair, that nothing would prevent us from making that change without going back to the PC because it isn't a content change, but I am waiting on the bill's office to confirm that. Chair, if they do confirm that that is fine, then I do propose that we do the same in two other places. So the first one is on page 3 in line 45. We stipulated should change to contemplated. That was what was raised by the Western Cape government. And then I picked up two other ones, Chair. Also on page 3, if you move down to line 52, where we speak of mentioned, that too can also be changed to contemplated. And then on page 8 in line, no, that's the only two for that one, Chair. The other one was the spelling error. So if the bill's office is in agreement with me, Chair, then we will make that change. If they not, then and nothing else is going to the PC. It would depend now what comes out of deliberations. But if there isn't anything else going back to the PC, Chair, then I would propose that we leave it as it is. because as indicated in the presentation by the department, it won't have any impact on content. It is just a drafting style. So I will wait and see what the outcome of the deliberations are, Chi. Thank you.
Just repeat for me, please, the one on page 3 of the bill.
So, Chair, on page 3, there are two issues. There's line 45. You'll see that the word stipulated is used there.
Yes.
And the comment that came in from the submissions is that that should change to contemplated. Stipulated in the section rather than as stipulated, because the term contemplated is used in the Principal Act. And so I've picked up a one slightly further down on line 52, where we then say mentioned, and that can also be changed to contemplated. So, Chair, generally when we draft, we try to keep drafting in line with the drafting style in the Principal Act. The Companies Act is quite a long act, and so you'll see that the style does shift here and there, because obviously there were a number of amendments as it moved through the years. If I can make those two changes, Chair, the Bills Office does agree with me, then I will make the changes. If they don't, they won't have any impact in terms of content or meaning or understanding of the provisions as they currently are. So they can then remain the same. If that must be the case, Chair. If, however, Chair, the Bills Office disagrees and the committee during deliberations decides that there are certain recommendations it would like to make to the PC, then obviously we would include this in a report that goes to the PC, which is why I say we'll wait to see what the outcome of deliberations are, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think because what I was indicating earlier, Advocate, is that we will now use the same metrics of the department also in terms of deliberations and also voting. But when we get to the clause that has those administrative changes, please alert us so that if we adopt a particular clause with that needs those administrative changes, we also adopt taking into account those administrative changes, including the one that you were referring to, 10B and 10-11, that they should be changed to 11 and 12. When we get to those, please alert us.
Yes, Chair, we will do so, Chairperson. For purposes of deliberations, if we are using the department's matrix, to just make sure that even where there were no public comments, that the committee is really clear that it's satisfied with the content of a particular provision and we adopt before we move to the next. Because there were certain there were certain amendments on which we did not receive any comments, Chair. Thank you.
Because on that one, my approach, correct me if I'm wrong, my approach was that we deal with all these clauses where there are comments from the stakeholders and responses from the department. And then when we're done with that, we will then adopt the whole bill, which will then contain those where there were no comments at all and also didn't require the department to respond. My suggestion is that after we're done with the clauses, we then put the whole bill, bill if there are no amendments for adoption. That will then cover those clauses where there were no comments. Is that correct?
Yes, Chair, that is in order. Yes, Chair, that's perfectly fine. I was just concerned that we skipped something and there isn't a formal on record that the committee was happy with the balance of the clauses. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you so much. Honourable members, we are now going to go back. I will request the committee secretary or Mr. Bazir, the advocate calling him Bazir. So all along I've been calling him Mr. Bazir. He never corrected me. Can you scroll down, Mr. Bazir or Mr. Bazir, to clause one? Honorable members, what are we going to be doing? We will be looking, we will deal with this in line with the bill itself, there are clauses in the bill. For example, there will be clause one that deals with the definition. And therefore, the question will be that we agree with the clause one as contained in section one of the bill. And therefore, we will call for those who are in support of clause one as contained in the bill to vote yes, and then those who vote against, no, and those who want to abstain then will abstain. But if there are issues there for clarity or deliberation, the members are free to do that whilst we are still on that particular clause. Is that fine?
Yes, we agree with that, Chair.
All right.
Of course, I wanted to get clarity from Dr. Masocha in relation to the department's view on page 3. Line 45 and line 52, particularly around the issue of stipulation and stipulated and contemplated. What is your take on that? But you also identified three other areas.
That's why I was requesting an advocate to remind us, because what I wanted to do is to go now clause by clause. If maybe a particular administrative change, let's say for argument's sake, is on clause 10, and we vote on clause 10, and maybe with and that particular administrative change is on clause 10, so then remind us that particular change, and then if the department can come in as well on that. Or maybe just to make matters easier, just on this aspect for the department, those areas, the stipulated and contemplated, as well as the numbering. I think you spoke to that earlier, Dr. Masocha, if you can perhaps come in on that. The administrative changes that advocate was referring to, as and there are those that are suggested by the Western Cape government, which advocates agrees with. She said that will be subject to confirmation by the bill's office.
Chair, we our view is expressed in page 9 of the matrix.
Okay.
Yeah, so we agree with the advocate, and that if there is space for them to be addressed, they can be addressed. But we looked at them from the principle that the minister presented in his presentation, where he said that the issue of drafting and language, it's one thing, and we saw this as an editorial type of a comment. Yes, there was a similar type of amendment we did before around the wording contemplated. There was some wording that they suggested we aligned previously. So we think that this can also be addressed now. But because of the substantiveness of it, we felt that it can be retained as is. Because it does not talk to policy, it does not change the substance of the bill. It's just that in terms of alignment, it does make sense. So we noted that. But then if there is scope and there's room for it, that given space for adjustment, then we support the proposal by Advocate Ibrahim to make the alignment.
Thank you so much. Are you covered there, Honorable Chair?
Yes, yes, Chair. I'm quite obvious between the doc and the advocate. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, I then put a clause one, that we agree to clause one. Those in favor will vote by show of hands using the platform. If you can, then you can indicate. Ms. Solomons will assist us in counting those that are voting in favor.
Chairperson, I've voted in favor. I don't know if you can see my hand.
Yes, your hand is clear.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll rely on Ms. Solomons.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, just to clarify, what we're voting on is the acceptance of the department's responses in terms of Clause 1, Section 1.
Yeah, we vote with regard to what is contained in the bill itself without any changes.
Okay. Yeah. So in terms of Clause 1, we have in support Honourable Mamarakhane, Honourable Mwemang, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Khai, and Honourable Dango.
Okay. Can I ask that members please lower their hands? Those who are voting against, please raise your hand. Ms. Madia?
No, there's no hands against you.
Okay. Those abstaining?
Chief, for now we have two abstentions from Honorable Lant and Honorable Boshoff.
All right. Thank you so much. So the result is that the majority has voted in favor of adoption of Clause 1. We'll now move to Honorable, I don't know if there's a would like to speak, Honorable Boshoff. I see your hand is up. Oh, okay. Thank you so much. We now move to Clause 2. I put Clause 2. Those in favor of Clause 2, that we accept Clause 2 without any amendments under Section 16. Please raise your hand.
May I proceed?
Yes, please.
Okay, Chair, in favour we have Honourable Dango, Honourable Mamarakhane, Honourable Mwemang, Honourable Mashodi, and yourself, Honourable Khai.
Thank you very much. Let's lower the hands, Honourable Members. We now go to those who are voting against the adoption of Clause 2. Please raise your hands. So rely on Ms. Solomons.
There's no votes. There's no raised hands against Chair.
Okay. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, abstentions. We've got two, Honourable Lant and Honourable Boshoff.
All right. Thank you so much. You can lower your hands, Honourable Members. That means in terms of the majority, Clause 2 is therefore accepted. We now move to clause three. Honourable members, as we go clause by clause, you are free to also deliberate on the clause and also ask questions for clarity before we vote. Allow that process as well. We're now on clause three. Okay, no deliberations. Those who are voting in favor of clause three that we adopted without any amendment, please raise your hand.
Chair, we have Honorable Dango, Honorable Mamrakhane, Honorable Moimang, Honorable Mushuri, and yourself, Honorable Kai.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hand, honourable members. Those who are voting against adoption of clause three, please raise your hand.
Okay, Chair, those members who have voted against clause three is Honourable Lund and Honourable Boshoff.
Okay.
Chairperson, Honourable Khai, if you will excuse my voice, would you take a comment now or at the end?
No, yeah, we can. You can comment now, please.
Okay, Chair. I'm putting it on the record because we have been dealing with this. That unfortunately, throughout this process, whether it was in the NA and the NCLP, there's valid points that gets put forward, but unfortunately, none of this gets taken on board and incorporated. There's always reasons why. So I want to put that on the record. You know, I've raised that at previous legislations as well, which is incredibly frustrating when valid points gets put on the table and it does not get addressed. But we will take that further at the appropriate platforms. But since you did invite that comment for us throughout this process in the NA, and yeah, it was raised, but just put this there for you, the record for you, Chairperson, as well.
Okay. Now, I don't know, there are issues that, which also Dr. Masota confirmed that they were valid and that they would be considered in the next administration or next parliament. I don't know if you're referring to those or you're referring to the current ones that we're dealing with now, the clause by clause.
Yeah, but Chairperson, you would remember we had long deliberations with previous legislation as well. And our point was, why defer these things to the next administration when it can be dealt with now? If there is something that can be improved, something that can be addressed with legislation, do it now and not defer it, because you yourself and everybody else knows what goes into getting a bill to where it is now. It's picked up in the next administration. There might be, well, your list got leaked, ours not yet, but it seems like a lot of people are not coming back. So they'll have to start from scratch again. And that was our concern from the beginning. If there's parts of legislation that can be improved and can be corrected and can be made better, why defer it and why not do it now? But again, that is something we have debated before you have ruled us or ruled that comment. You can use your own words how you ruled it.
Uh-huh. No, I hear the point that you're making, Honorable Lund. As I was indicating that the department, even the SO appreciated the proposal that we made. But some of the challenges is that you may agree with those clauses, but then people that should be implementing the bill or the act is the department. Without them having done a thorough research and further consultation on the new proposal, completely new proposals that are not part of the bill, it's going to make it difficult for the implementation of those good proposals, because they have not been thoroughly researched and no assessment has been done in terms of impact for such, good as they may be. So therefore, when they are parked for the next legislative process, that process would include further consultation first by the department with also other departments or entities that may be impacted by this kind of proposal that are being new proposal that are being made, which are not necessarily part of the current bill that is being amended. And also there's another process of consulting the NEDLAC partners as well. So there's a lot of goodies they may be, but they should be subjected to a procedure of consultation, research, impact assessment, good as they may be. So it's not easy, therefore, to just say, oh, this one is good, therefore, let's take it. And then you find that in terms of implementing them, it's not possible to implement because these other processes have not been followed up. So I agree in terms of that there are good proposals that are being made, but the problem is that they are new, and also they need to be subjected to public participation as well. So there's a lot that need to be done before you accept them. So it's not easy to just say, oh, it's a good proposal, let's accept it, without subjecting them to these processes I've just mentioned. So that's why sometimes it will be viewed like as a delay when you say they are good, but then they will be considered in the next period of amendments. It's because you need to go through all these procedural matters. I hope it's clear. Okay, and I think we were on those who are voting no for clause 3. I think Ms. Solomon was indicating that there were two hands at the time.
Yes, she.
Can we repeat that process again? Clause 3, those who are voting against, please raise your hand. Sorry for that.
Chief, those members who had voted against clause 3 is Honorable Lunt and Honorable Boshoff.
Okay, thank you so much. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
We are no abstentions, Chief.
All right, thank you so much. That therefore means the majority are voting in favor of that particular clause adoption without amendment. We now move to clause 4. Are there any deliberations on clause 4? Questions for clarity, views? None.
Chair, Advocate Ibrahim has raised the hand.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's happening with this. Maybe because I don't even see myself. I don't know whether I'm framed correctly or not. Okay, so who's hand is up?
Advocate Ibrahim has raised the hand.
Oh, okay. Over to you, Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just for the record, Chair, I just want to go through the administrative changes so that it's captured in the report. So on clause 4, page 3, line 45, to change the word stipulated to contemplated so that it reads the annual financial statements as contemplated in section 24.3. Then moving further down, Chair, still in the same section, line 52, to amend the word mentioned and change that to contemplated as well, so that it would read the register of the disclosure of beneficial interests of the company as contemplated in section 56.7a. Then turning the page, Chair, still in the same section, on line 17 on page 4, where it says at a location referred to now read at a location contemplated in section 25.1. And Chairperson, I have just received a message from the Bills Office to indicate that that's all in order and they would be able to make the change and have confirmed that it does not go back to the PC chair. Then moving down, Chair, it's in the same section that we have the spelling error, and that is in line 22, where the word
just before the advocate moves, Chair, from that point, is the advocate says that if we effect the changes, it does not have to go back to the PC.
The administrative changes, yes. Because they're not changing the principle, just I would say the grammar or spelling or the context. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. You can continue, Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. The last one in that section, Chairperson, is the spelling mistake. The word contemplated was spelled with an M instead of the letter N. So we'll collect that in line 22, Chair. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Honourable members, we are therefore still on clause 4. Advocate Ibrahim was alerting us in terms of the changes, administrative changes that needs to be effected, and also corrections. With that, I'll put clause 24. First, if there are any deliberations on that. If not, I put clause 4 to be adopted without any amendments, taking into account those administrative corrections. Those in favor, please raise your hand.
Those in favour, please, Honourable Dangle, yourself, Honourable Hai, Honourable Moimang, Honourable Mamrahani, and Honourable Mushuri.
Okay. Please, Honourable Members, lower your hand. Those are voting against, clause 4, please raise your hand.
Against, we have Honourable Lunt and Honourable Boshoff.
Okay. Please lower your hand, Honourable Members.
Chair, there are no extensions.
All right. Thank you very much. That means that in terms of the majority, clause 4 has been agreed to. Thank you so much. We now move clause 5, section 30. Are there any deliberations on clause 5, section 30, honourable members? That you would like to raise? Not.
Okay, Mr. Dango has raised his hand.
Oh, okay. Honorable Dango?
I was voting in favor, Chairperson. I was in anticipation.
Oh, no, we're still checking if there are any deliberations first. Questions for clarity.
I think the principle of the fact that no right in the constitution is absolute, Chair.
Yeah.
I think has to be reiterated, particularly in the context of the policy imperative of openness and transparency within the context that it is one of the values that are contained also in our constitution, and the fact that our constitution is also the supreme law, therefore it does make sense for where there is a need for shareholders or the public to get a sense in terms of what is the disparities in terms of the income between employees and directors or the CEOs. For policy purposes, if that will help in terms of ensuring that we bridge the inequality scale, I think this company and this process must be applauded, because it then goes back to the earlier clause 4. That says if you adopt an approach to use a legal persona as your modus operandi to run your business, it shouldn't act as a way to sort of hide the inequalities and disparities in terms of salary scale. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any further inputs before we put the clause for a vote? Any further input, honourable members? So if not, can we then, those who are voting in favour of this clause 5, please raise your hands in favour.
Chair, those members who have voted in favour of clause 5 is Honourable Dango, Honourable Moimang, Honourable Mamrahani, Honourable Khai, and Honourable Mishuri.
All right, thank you so much. Please lower your hands, Honourable members. Those who are voting against clause 5, please raise your hand.
There are no hands against, Chair.
No hands against.
But Mr. Dango, I think Mr. Dango's raised his hand.
But he didn't throw his.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, there's no hands against those 5, Chair.
Okay. So that means that clause 5 is then adopted in terms of the majority.
Chair, Mr. Honorable Lund, if you just say...
Okay, Honorable Lund, you can... Oh, sorry, abstention. Oh, sorry, didn't go for. All right. Now, Chair, for abstention, Honorable Lund and Honorable Boshoff. You can now lower your hands. Thank you so much. We're now moving to clause 6. Any deliberations on clause 6? Deals with the section 30A and the section 30B. Any comments? Any input? In the absence of any input, I'll put clause 6. Those voting in favor, please raise your hand.
Chair, those members who are voted in favour of clause 6 is myself, Honourable Hai, Honourable Dango, Honourable Mumang, Honourable Mamrahani, and Honourable Mishuri.
Thank you very much, Honourable members. You can now lower your hand. Please lower your hand, Honourable members. Honourable Mamrahani and Honourable Moimang. Thank you so much. Those who are voting against, please raise your hand.
Chair, those members of the is Honourable Boshoff and Honourable Lund.
Okay. Please lower your hand, Honourable members. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
The on-note engine sheet.
No abstention. Thank you so much. That means clause 6 has been moved and seconded or adopted without any amendments. We now move to clause 7. On clause 7, any comments, input, deliberation? If not, can we then vote? Those who are voting in favor of the adoption of clause 7 without any amendments, please raise your hand.
Those members who have voted in favour of clause 7 is Honourable Number is Honourable Dango, Honourable Hai, Honourable Number Khani, Honourable Mushodi, and Honourable Mwemang.
Okay. Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Honourable Mwemang, please lower your hand. Thank you. Those who are voting against clause 7, please raise your hand.
There are no hands against you.
Okay. Honourable members who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
There are two abstentions, Chair, Honourable Bashoff and Honourable Land.
All right. Thank you very much. You can lower your hand, Honourable members. Thank you so much. That means clause 7 has been adopted without amendments in terms of the majority. Thank you so much. We now move to clause 8. Okay, we will deal with clause 8, clause 9, clause 10 when we put the bill, the whole bill for adoption or rejection. Just move up again so that I know which...
We start again. Yeah, it was just...
Then we go...
So
it's class 10, yes.
Yes.
All right, thanks so much. Any comments, views on the class 10? Honorable members, before we put it for a vote. It seems not. Can we now have those who are voting in favor of adopting the clause 10 without amendments, please raise your hand.
Okay, Chair, we have Honorable Dango, Honorable Mamrahani, Honorable Hai, Honorable Mushodi, and Honorable Mwemang.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Those yes.
Of course, I voted in favor. I just needed to get clarity. What happens in a situation where I think in a subsidiary, shareholders are not the same? Will it create a different scenario? Because we'll have a holding company and a subsidiary companies, but in certain instances, subsidiary companies might not have the same shareholders.
Okay. Maybe can I get clarity from DDG and Prof?
Chair. And Honourable Mwemang, I'll request Prof. Katz to come in on this one. Prof.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members.
Morning.
Thanks for inviting me. Would Honourable Jenner just repeat the question? I didn't hear it properly.
Okay. Honorable Moiman, can you please
thank you.
Your question? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. The clarity that I sought was around what is the position where the shareholders of a subsidiary company are not the same as the holding company, or situation usually does not arise. What if it does arise?
In the context of what, Honourable Moiman?
Yeah, in the context of the protection that we are giving under Clause 10, Section 45, because it applies that the purpose is to protect minority shareholders in a company.
Yes.
When a company gives financial assistance to its own subsidiary.
Yes.
So, yes.
Okay. Honourable Moiman, that's a good question, and it's been raised by many people. If I can just have the starting point is, what is the philosophy embodied in 45? It's to protect the minority shareholders of a company. So let's assume the holding company owns 70% of a subsidiary and the other 30 is owned by minorities. So when the subsidiary gives financial assistance to its holding company or to a subsidiary of its holding company, its minority shareholders need protection. Hence, all the protections in Section 45. But when a company gives financial assistance to its own subsidiary, then there's complete alignment between the company and its minority shareholders, and there's no need for protection. That's the reason for the proposed amendment to Section 45. Honourable Moiman, I hope that answers the question.
Yes, Prof, it does give clarity. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Thank you so much, Prof. Okay, we will now to go to those who are voting against. Please raise your hand. Is that correct, Mr. Romot?
Yes, Chair.
Okay.
I don't see any hands against you.
All right. Thank you so much. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, I've noted two abstentions from Honourable Boshoff and Honourable Land.
Thank you so much, Honourable Members. Please lower your hands. So in terms of the majority vote, Clause 10 has been agreed to without any amendments. We now move to Clause 11.
Yeah, Chairperson, can we just have a six-minute comfort break, if possible?
All right. What time is it now? Okay. All right. Let's do that. Let's come at 5 to 11, 10:55. We'll start again at 5. Thank you very much, members. Section 48, Honourable Members. If not, I put Clause 11, those voting in favour, please raise your hands.
Um, Chair, those members who have voted in favour of clause 11, as yourself, Honourable Khai, Honourable Dangle, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Muimang, and Honourable Mamerhane.
Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Okay. Those who are voting against clause 11, please raise your hand.
There are no hands against you.
Okay, thank you very much. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, the abstentions are as follows, Honorable Boshoff and Honorable Lund.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hand, Honorable Members. Thank you very much. So clause 11 has been agreed to in terms of the majority. Clause 12, there are no comments, so we're moving to clause 13. Any comments on clause 13, section 72, honorable members? None.
Chair, Advocate Ibrahim,
Advocate Ibrahim. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this is the last administrative matter, and this is the one concerning the numbering that appears at the end of this clause. If you go to page 8 in the bill, Chair, it's line
eight?
From line 48 on page 8. Eight, yes.
Okay.
So on line 48, Chair, you'll see it says by the insertion after subsection 10 of the following subsections, and two subsections are inserted, a 10A and a 10B, and we're proposing that that be subsection 11 and 12 respectively, Chair.
Okay. All right. I see that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. So there are no other comments on clause 13, honorable members? If not, those who are voting in favor of clause 13, please raise your hand.
Chair, in favor is, of course, of the clause is Honourable Muimang, Honourable Khai, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Dango, and Honourable Mamerhane.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you very much. And those who are voting against clause 13, please raise your hands.
There are no hands against you.
All right. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
There are two abstentions, Honorable Lund and Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hands, Honorable Members. Honorable Lund, please lower your hand, please. Thank you so much. That means clause 13 with those administrative corrections that have been made is adopted without any amendments. We now move to clause, I think, is it clause 16. All these other clauses, as we indicated earlier, they will be part of the adoption or rejection of the whole bill. So we're now on clause 16, section 118. Any comments, views that members would like to express? Not. I put clause 16. Those in favor, please raise your hand. Those in favor of clause 16, please raise your hand.
I don't think that all the members are. Let me just check. Chair, in favour, we have yourself, Honourable Khai, Honourable Dango, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Muimang, and Honourable Mamrahani.
Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you. Those voting against Clause 16, Section 118, please raise your hand.
There are no hands, Chief.
Right. Thank you very much. Those voting against Clause 16, Section 118, please raise your hand. Sorry, what did I say? Did I say against?
You said against. I think you meant to say abstaining.
Oh, sorry. Those who are abstaining. Sorry. Sorry, those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, abstentions are on Honourable Lunt and Honourable Boshoff.
Thank you so much. You can lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you so much. That means the by majority vote, Clause 16, Section 18 has been agreed to. Thank you so much. Can you please scroll down, Mr. Bazia, to the next clause, Clause 17, Section 135. Any comments, questions for clarity, views, inputs, honorable members? On Clause 17, Section 135. No comments, no views, no inputs. I therefore put Clause 17, Section 135. Those voting in favor, please raise your hand.
Chair, voting in favor, we have Honorable Dango, Honourable Khai, Honourable Mabrahani, Honourable Mashodi, and Honourable Muimang.
Okay. Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you very much. Those who are voting against, please raise your hand.
There are no hands, Chair.
Okay. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hands. Clause 17, Section 135.
There are two abstentions, Honourable Boshoff and Honourable Lunt.
Thank you very much. You can lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you. That means the Section 17, oh, sorry, Clause 17, Section 135 has been agreed to. Thank you very much. Can we now move to the next clause? Clause 18, Section 160. Any comments, any views, any inputs? Not. And I'll put Clause 18, Section 160. Those voting in favor, please raise your hand.
In favour, we have Honourable Dango, yourself, Honourable Khai, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Mamrahani, and Honourable Muimang.
Okay. Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Okay. Those who are voting against Clause 18, Section 160, please raise your hands.
On our hands, Chief.
Okay. Those who are abstaining against on Clause 18, Section 160, please raise your hand.
There are two abstentions, Honourable Boshoff and Honourable Lund.
Thank you very much. You can lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you so much. Therefore, by majority, Clause 18, Section 160 has been agreed to. We'll deal with clause 19, section 166, when we deal with the whole bill. Can we then move to the next? We'll do the same with regard to clause 20, section 167. We now go to clause 21, section 194. Are there any comments, views, clarifications sought? Honourable members? None. I will therefore put clause 21, section 194. Those voting in favour of clause 21, section 194, please raise your hands.
Those in favour, Honourable Moimang, Honourable Dango, Honourable Khai, Honourable Mamrahani, and Honourable Mashuri.
Thank you very much. Let's please lower our hands, Honourable Members. Thank you very much. Those who are voting against Clause 21, Section 194, please raise your hands.
There are no hands against you.
Thank you so much. Those who are abstaining on clause 21, section 194, please raise your hand.
The abstentions we have is Honourable Boshoff and Honourable Lon.
Thank you so much. Please lower your hands, Honourable Members. Thank you so much. By majority vote, clause 21, section 194, has been agreed to. Thank you so much. We now move to clause 22, section 195. Any comments, views, deliberations, questions for clarity? Seems not. And I'll put clause 22, section 195. Those voting in favor of clause 22, section 195, please raise your hand.
Chair, we have in favour, Honourable Mamrahani, Honourable Dango, Honourable Hai, Honourable Mashodi, and Honourable Mwimang.
Okay. Let's lower our hands, Honourable Members. Thank you very much. Those who are voting against clause 22, section 195, please raise your hand.
The other hand, thank you.
Thank you so much. Those who are abstaining on clause 22, section 195, please raise your hand.
The extensions of all Honourable Boshoff, Honourable Lund.
Thank you so much. That means clause 22, section 195 has been agreed to. Thank you so much. We move to the next clause. Clause 23, section 204. Any comments, questions for clarities, views, deliberations? Not. I therefore put clause 23, section 204. Those who are voting in favour, please raise your hand.
She in favour, Honourable Mamrahani, Honourable Dango, Honourable Khai, Honourable Mashuri, and Honourable Moimang.
Thank you very much. Those who vote, let's lower our hands first. Those who are voting against clause 23, section 204, please raise your hands.
There are no hands against you.
Okay. Those who are abstaining on clause 23, section 204, please raise your hands.
The abstentions are Honorable Boshoff and Honorable Lawrence.
Okay. Please lower your hands, Honorable Members. Okay. That means a clause 23, section 204 has been agreed to. Okay. Will you please go down? Was that the last clause?
Yeah, those are the last words that we would, because the rest are all proposed amendments that, other proposed amendments, as mentioned by the DDG. I think the next, if I'm not mistaken, is the company's second amendment bill. This one is chair.
Can I first put this one, bill B27? B 2023 for a vote. First comments, honourable members. Any comments on the whole bill B27B-2023? Views, priorities. If not, I therefore put a bill to B27B-2023 for adoption. Those in favor, please raise your hand.
Chair, if I may, there are still clauses as well. Remember, there were still clauses as well where there were no amendments. Can I just propose that Indigo put the bill itself on the screen? Voting on the bill now.
All right. I think the fact that I've got a copy, so I'm using my copy, which is all right. Let's do that. You're right. Put up the bill, Mr. Bazier. That is a bill, honorable members, is agreed by the Portfolio Committee on Trade, Industry and Competition, National Assembly, English text, the official text of the bill, that the one. Can you scroll down, Mr. Bazier? Honourable members, I put the bill, as we indicate earlier, that there were clauses where there were no comments from the stakeholders and also no comments from the department. But if members would like to make comments on any of those clauses, they are free to do so.
Yes, Chair, if I may, the clause where there was no comment, if Enrico can just quickly scroll down to it, this is clause 8, section 38A. That's clause 8. Actually, yeah, so clause 8 and 9 on the clauses, there was no comment. So we just also need to vote on those clauses as well, Chair.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought that we had agreed earlier that we will vote for the bill, which therefore contains all the other clauses where there were no comments. But then if we need to also to vote clause by clause with regard to those, let's hear from the members.
If I can also be also guided by our colleague Ali on that issue as well.
Okay. Advocate Ali.
Good afternoon. Good day, Chair. Good day, members. Colleagues, Chair, with regard to the process that's being followed, I don't see anything wrong with it. The bill can be put, and if there's queries and members have concerns, it can be raised, or we could go individually clause by clause, which will take the committee exceptionally long. The second option of putting the bill to the members and them raising particular concerns will actually aid the, us in completing the bill or completing the consideration of the bill thereof. Thank you.
Members, I suggest that we vote for the whole bill, which contains all the clauses, including those that there were no comments on, both from the stakeholders, the department, and no comments from ourselves as well. As a suggestion, if we agree, but or the other option then for is to go to all those clauses, clause by clause, and vote for them. Can we get an indication, members? Honorable Moimanga, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the approach that you had initially outlined and that we agreed upon, let's follow that. That we put the whole bill, as we indicated at the beginning of our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any contrary view, honorable members?
I will second what Honorable Moemang has just proposed, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you so much. Was that checking if there any counter view? Seems not. So, honorable members, I therefore put the bill, Bill B27B, 2023, for adoption. Those in favor, please raise your hands.
Chair, those members who have voted in favour is Honourable Mamarakhane, Honourable Khai, Honourable Moimang, Honourable Dango, and Honourable Mashori.
Much. And please lower your hands, Honourable members. Those who are voting against, Honourable Dango, please lower your hand. Those who are voting against the adoption of the Bill B27B-2023. Please raise your hand.
Chair, those members who are voted against is Honourable Bashoff and Honourable Lund.
Chair, please lower your hand, Honourable members. In terms of the majority vote, the bill has been agreed to, Bill B27B-2023. Before we get to the second amendment, can I get comments in terms of the process forward, Advocate Ibrahim?
Chairperson, on what exactly is clarity sought?
No, I just want to check in terms of the way forward now that there are no amendments, so there won't be any C.
Yes. Chair, that's correct. Because this is a Section 75 bill, in any event, there would not have been a C list, even if the committee wanted to make amendments, it would have needed to go back to the NA committee, Chair, to the PC. So for now, Chair, what will happen is that the bill will go to the Bills Office for that final cleaning up and changes before it serves before the Council. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think from the committee side, we'll have to then have a report, I think, that we need to adopt or reject. If it's adopted, then even if it's rejected, then we have to go to the council. I think that will be then the process. All right. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We now move to the company's second amendment bill. We ask Mr. Bazier to put that the same, I think, metric document, but the section that deals with the company's second amendment.
When do we deliver the report, Chair?
Next week.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks. All right. Thanks. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Bazier. Honourable members, we're now dealing with the Companies Second Amendment Bill 2023. We have then comments on Clause 1, Section 77. Any comments? If not, we'll put Clause 1, Section 77 of the Companies Second Amendment Bill 2023. Those voting in favor, please raise your hand. Solomon?
Okay, Chair, in favor we have Honorable Dango, Honorable Hai, Honorable Mamrahani, Honorable Mashodi and Honorable Moimang.
Thank you very much. Can we please lower our hands, Honorable Members? Thank you very much. Those who are voting against Clause 1, Section 77 of the Companies Second Amendment Bill 2023, please raise your hand.
There are no hands against you.
Thank you very much. Those who are abstaining on Clause 1, Section 77, please raise your hand.
Chair, the abstentions is Honorable Lund and Honorable Bashoff.
Thank you very much. If you can lower your hands, Honorable Members. Please lower your hand, Honorable J.J. Lund. Thank you. That means the Honourable Members, the Clause 1, Section 77 of the Companies Second Amendment Bill 2023 has been agreed to. Thank you very much. We now move to Clause 2, Section 162. Are there any comments, questions for clarities, inputs, views, deliberations? If not, I put Clause 2, Section 162. Those voting in favor, please raise your hand.
Chair, those in favor is Honorable Dango, Honorable Moimang, Honorable Hai, Honorable Mashodi, and Honorable Mamrahani.
Thank you very much. Can we please lower our hands, Honorable Members? Okay, thank you very much. Those who are voting against Clause 2, Section 162, please raise your hand.
There are no hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Those who are abstaining on Clause 2, Section 162, please raise your hands.
The abstentions is Honorable Boshoff and Honorable Lund.
Thank you very much, Ms. Solomons. Please lower your hands, Honorable Members. Thank you so much. That means Clause 2, Section 162, agreed to. Thank you very much. Let's scroll down, Mr. Bazier. So that was, we're done with the those clauses on Companies Second Amendment Bill. And let's put now the bill itself, Mr. Bazier. Okay. Can you just scroll down so that the whole bill can be seen? Yes, good one. Just go down so that we see the number. The number. Now the first page itself. That part that says B, 26B. There you go. All right. I put Honorable Members, Companies Second Amendment Bill. B26B-2023 for adoption. Those in favor, please raise your hands.
Chair, those in favor, Honorable Dango, Honorable Hai, Honorable Moimang, Honorable Mamrahani, and Honorable Mashori.
Thank you very much. Can we please lower hands, Honorable Members? Those voting against the adoption of the bill, please raise your hand. Those who are voting against the adoption of the bill, B26B-2023, please raise your hand.
So, Chair, those members voting against, we have Honorable Lant and Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much. Can you please lower your hands, Honorable Members? Thank you very much. Those who are abstaining from voting for the adoption of Kambane's Second Amendment Bill, B26B-2023, please raise your hand.
The honor of St.
Thank you very much. So the Kambane's Second Amendment Bill has been agreed to without any amendments. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. As we indicated earlier, that both bills, we will then develop a report, and then that report will be tabled in the committee meeting next week for adoption or rejection. If thereafter, then it will go to the House for consideration. Thank you very much. Honorable Members, let me take this opportunity to thank the Honorable Members. We still have time, we will deal with the internal committee matters, but let me thank the Department, DTIC, the Minister, the DDG, Professor Katz, the stakeholders who participated in the public hearings, the Honourable Members who engaged with the stakeholders, and as well as with the Department input. So we would like to thank the assistance provided by Advocate Ibrahim and Advocate Ali, as well as the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Like to thank also the stakeholders who participated, the media, the communication unit of Parliament as well, PMG, like to thank you as well, and everybody who took part, who participated in this process, and also those who were observing the processes. Next week, as we indicated, that we will be considering the report next week on Tuesday. Thank you very much. You are free then to leave the platform if you so wish, but not you can remain, because meetings of Parliament are open to everybody. Thank you so much. Dr. Masota, any last word?
Thank you, Chair, for the process. Thank you to the Honourable Members for the engagement. I want to thank Advocate Ibrahim and her team and the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor and the DTIC team to recognize the Minister in absence and to thank him for his leadership, to thank Professor Katz and all the experts in the Specialist Committee on Company Law and all the stakeholders who contributed throughout the process. The process didn't start this year, last year, it started years ago, and for all their collaboration, participation, the NEDLAC partners and constituencies and the debates and deliberations. To thank everyone, Chairperson, and for this opportunity to say something. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Last word, Advocate Ibrahim.
Nothing to add from my side, Chair. Thank you very much to the committee and, of course, to the department that we've had the pleasure of working very closely with in the past few months. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Thank you so much. Honourable members, we now going to deal with the minutes of the last meeting. I don't know what the minister sets of minutes.
Chief, or maybe there are two sets of minutes. We have the 27th of February and the 1st of March.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Bazia. Honourable members, are there any corrections? If not, can we then have a move on the second for the adoption of the minutes of the 27th of February, 2024?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mushodi. Is there any second, Honourable members, for the adoption of the minutes?
Second, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Moima. Any counter view, counter motion? Not. So, Honorable members, the minutes of the 27th of February 2024 have been adopted. Thank you so much. The next set of minutes. Let's scroll down there. Mr. Bazia. Thank you very much. Are there any corrections, honorable members, on the minutes of the 5th of March, 2024? No corrections, no omissions. Can we then have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes?
I move, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder? Any seconder? Oh, okay. Honorable Masudi is seconding. Thank you very much. Any counter motion? Not. So the minutes of the 5th of March have been moved and seconded. So they are now adopted. Any other announcement, Committee Secretary?
No, Chair. Other than our next committee meeting will be next Tuesday, the 19th of March, where the committee will consider the report and finalise the company's amendment bill, as well as the negotiating mandates on the small enterprise amendment bill.
Okay. Thank you very much. So next Tuesday, we'll start with the finalisation of the company's amendment bills. When we're done with that process, we will then deal with the negotiating mandates for the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your attendance and participation. I think we'll see each other at the plenary session. They will be virtual. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Recording stopped.